16. Acts chapter 16. And verse number 6. We'll start here, the first, or verses 6 through 10. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house tonight, Lord. I pray right now that you would be with me as I preach this message. Lord, fill my mouth with the words that you would have me to speak. And Lord, speak through me tonight. Lord, help me to be an encouragement. Help me to be a challenge. Help me to be a blessing, Lord, and the things that I'll say from your word. And I pray that you would just work on hearts and do what only you can do in the hearts of your people. And Lord, again, we just thank you for allowing us to be here and pray that you would bless this service. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I was praying about what to preach tonight, and the Lord just impressed upon me to preach to servants. Because the Wednesday night crowd, if there's a church service in the week where you're most likely to have your servants show up, it's going to be Wednesday night. You folks are the people who usually on Sundays are in ministries serving. We have a bunch of servants right now that are not in here because they're serving. And as I read through this chapter of the book of Acts, we find a lot of lessons here about serving. And there are so many stories in this chapter, but I think when we kind of put them all together, we get a bigger picture of what it is to serve in the ministry. And I'm not talking about just those who are in full-time ministry. Those, I have the privilege of doing the ministry as my job. But I'm talking about just serving the ministry in the ministry in general, just serving the Lord. There are some things that we should expect. You know, all of you, I hope that when you started your job, you sat down with somebody and somebody told you what to expect out of that job. Now, they probably lied. You know, they probably didn't tell you everything. But they gave you some things. Here's what you can expect if you're going to do this job. And tonight I want us to look at some things, and I want to tell you, if you are going to serve God in any ministry, if you're going to give your time, your talent, your treasure to help others and to see others reached with the gospel, there are some things that you might as well just expect so that you're not surprised by them. And we see many of these things here in this chapter. The truth of the matter is, if you're a Christian, you ought to be serving. God designed us to serve. In fact, that's why he has left us here on this earth. You know, if we weren't supposed to serve, if we weren't supposed to do anything, then as soon as we got saved, he would just take us to heaven. There'd be no reason for us to be here, but there is a purpose. He wants us to be serving. A Christian who is not serving will be discontent and unfulfilled. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." Well, a yoke is something that is used to put animals in service. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And so fulfillment in the Christian life is partially gained by serving, and everyone, every Christian ought to be serving. The more you become like Christ, the more you will want to serve. Because Jesus Christ was the ultimate servant. He said, "For even the Son of Man," in Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So Jesus Christ said, "I came not to be ministered unto, I didn't come so that people could serve me. I came to serve. And as a Christian, the more like Christ you become, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you will have that same attitude. That, you know what? I'm not here for people to serve me. I'm here to serve. And I believe so many of the problems that we find in the modern church today, and I don't think we have a lot of this in our church, but I think we have a lot of people that start fighting and gossiping and bickering within a church because they're not busy doing the things that they ought to be doing. They're not busy serving. They're just being a sponge, trying to take it all in. But we find here in the book of Acts some men who were servants. I mean, they were serving the Lord, and there are several things we see here in this chapter, and we're just going to go through from verse 6 till about verse 34, and we'll move quickly tonight. I promise it won't be a long message. There's some things I want you to see here. Number one, the call of serving God. If you're going to be a servant, if you're going to serve the Lord, there is going to be a call. The Lord is going to call you to serve. Now here, in these verses that we already read, there's a very clear call. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So he had a dream. And in this dream, he heard this man from Macedonia calling, saying, hey, come and help us. We need help. So that's a very clear call. But you know, the Lord doesn't always call that way. The Lord doesn't always give you a dream. Sometimes dreams could be, you know, pepperoni pizza that you had the night before. You know, God calls in all kinds of different ways, and God leads in different ways. In fact, we find God leading starting back in verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Let's go ahead and put up that map. I don't know how well you can read the cities on here. So the Bible says they were here in Phrygia and in this area of Galatia, and they wanted to be in Asia, which was this area over here. Now, does the Bible say that God had told them to go to Asia? No. They just had a natural desire to spread the gospel. They saw a need. They said, you know, there's all these people over here in this area of Asia, and they need the gospel, so let's go. And, you know, you don't have to wait for God to send you a dream before you spread the gospel, before you serve. Again, the closer you are to the Lord, the more you're just going to have a desire to serve. Brother Ward, when he was here, I believe he shared it in Sunday school. This was an incredible quote, and I think it was in Sunday school, so most of you probably weren't in here to hear it. But he shared a quote from William Booth. And this was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. It was his reaction to somebody telling him, you know, I don't feel called to this ministry. I don't feel called to do this or to do that. And here was William Booth's reaction. He said, not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. And then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. What an amazing quote that was. That was the first time I'd heard that quote on Sunday, and I just had to look it up. But not called. I mean, for a Christian to say, I just don't feel called to serve. I don't, you know, for a Christian to be able to sit there week after week after week and say, you know, I just don't feel like I should be doing anything. I don't feel like I should be serving. I don't feel like I should be helping to do anything. No, we should have a desire. We should be trying to serve the Lord. And that's what these guys were doing. They were here in Phrygia, and they said, you know what, let's go to some of these other places. Let's start going there. And somehow, the Lord stopped them from doing that. Now, was he telling them, stop serving, I don't want you to serve me? No, he was just redirecting them. And you know what, if you're not serving right now, if you say, you know what, I can't think of anything that I'm doing right now to help share the gospel or help in the ministry in some way, just give it a shot. Just ask somebody. Say, hey, how can I help? What can I do? And you say, well, they might not let me. Okay, that's all right. God didn't let them do what they first asked about doing, but he had something else in mind. And so God was leading them through this area. Verse 7, and they were come, after they were come to Mysia, so they go from here, they come over here to Mysia, and it says, and they essayed to go into Bithynia. So again, they wanted to go back up this way, you know, east. And it says, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. So they came over here, and I think just over here is where you see Macedonia, in this area over here, where this call came from. And so the first thing we see tonight is a call, the call of serving God. God will always lead you as long as you have that desire, as long as you are trying to serve the Lord. He'll put you in the place where he wants you. Number two, we see the victories of serving God. Let's look at what happens next. After they heed this call, after they listen to this vision, this dream, what happened next? Verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city. I'm sorry, let's go back to verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city, abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So they finally get to the place where the Lord opened the door. And by the way, I don't know how God stopped them from serving in those other places. The Bible doesn't tell us if God audibly told them, no, don't go there. More likely, they just couldn't. Something happened. They weren't able to go to those places. But they finally get here, and they find a place where people are worshiping God. It says in verse 12 that this was a colony, and that simply meant that this city was under the Roman Empire. And so these people went to the riverside. Apparently they were kind of hiding out a little bit. They didn't have a place to worship in the city. And they gathered to worship. And they share the gospel with this woman named Lydia, and she gets saved. And there is nothing sweeter than being able to lead someone to the Lord, being able to show someone from God's word how they can go to heaven. And if you've never done that, you ought to make that a goal in your Christian life, to say, you know what, I want to do that someday. I want to be able to learn enough about, you know, the Bible and salvation that I would be able to lead someone else to the Lord. And there are great victories when you serve God. And there are times where when you serve the Lord, you see the fruit of your labor. And that's a blessing. And I'm sure that Paul and Silas and Luke, who was with them at some point during this journey, I'm sure they were just elated to see fruit for their work. They got there, and the place was ready for them. There was a group of ladies there ready to listen. And you know, if you will be faithful to the Lord and just commit to serving him, he's not only going to prepare you, but he will prepare a place for you to serve. It's amazing. God puts people and sends people exactly where they need to be. You know, I look at our church and all the different things. You know, Monday nights are such a blessing, to see all the different things that go on here and all the different areas where people are serving, because God has just put people in different places that have different skills and different talents, and they just do what they've been called to do. And God prepared this place. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And so God will prepare you for serving. He'll prepare a place. And we see here, they were able to have a great victory in their ministry. But before we move on, let's look at something very quickly. Go ahead and put the map back up. You know, where God calls you to serve won't always make sense to you. Where did they lead Lydia to the Lord? In what city? In Philippi. Okay. So they get to Philippi. You know, it's part of Macedonia. So Philippi is somewhere up here on the map. It's kind of cut off there. But this is Macedonia. Philippi is way up there. Where was Lydia from? Thyatira. The place they had been trying to serve the Lord, and the place that God said, no, I don't want you here. I want you over here. Come on, come over to Macedonia. I'm going to send you this dream and tell you to come over to Macedonia just so you can witness to somebody who is from way back there. You know, it's not always going to make sense, but God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. So we find the victories of serving the Lord. And if you serve the Lord, you can expect some victories. But you'll never have that unless you step out there and just serve him and just follow the call. Number three, if you've served in ministry for any length of time, you will experience the annoyances of serving God. There are times as we serve the Lord where there will be things and sometimes people who are a little bit annoying. There's things get under your skin a little bit. Things that just bother you a little bit. Things you'd rather not have to deal with. But it's just part of the ministry. Let's look at what happens here. Verse 16, after they lead Lydia to the Lord and her family, they get saved. They baptize her. She's so thrilled. She says, no, you guys have to stay at my house. And they had good fellowship there. After that great victory, verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. In other words, she was like a fortune teller. She was basically demon possessed, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So what happened here? These guys are going about their business, serving the Lord, doing the ministry. They go down, they witness to Lydia, she gets saved. So they say, you know what, let's do the same thing again today. Let's go back and let's talk to some more people about Jesus. Amen, this is going to be great. We're going to win some more people to the Lord. And all of a sudden, this demon-possessed girl, this crazy girl, is following them around everywhere they go and yelling. But she's not yelling at them. She's not yelling things against them. What is she saying? She's saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And I can just see her doing that all day long. Now, how do you get mad at that? You know, what's Paul supposed to do? Tell her, would you just shut up? No, he can't say that. I mean, she's seemingly trying to help them out. And you know, there are some times where people in the ministry, they have good intentions. They're trying to help, but they're not helping. And you know, if you serve in the ministry, you're going to come across people like that. I remember the church I grew up in Long Beach. We had, it's a church right in the middle of downtown. And so, you know what, you get a lot of downtown type people coming through the church. And I remember this one guy, his name was Alvin. And I loved Alvin, but you know, he was one of those guys, he was, you know, a few French fries short of a Happy Meal, and just wasn't all there. And Alvin would do things like in church, you know, we'd be having prayer request time, and somebody would, you know, be saying, yeah, I just found out, you know, my sister has cancer. Amen! You know, and he'd just say weird stuff like that. And Alvin would always come out soul winning. Every time we went out to pass out tracts, to spread the gospel, Alvin would always show up. And I remember one time, Alvin was knocking on doors, and he came across a door that was open. You know, the door was just cracked open. So he, you know, knocked on the door. He yelled to see if somebody was there. So he decided he would just wait for them to come home. So Alvin just went and sat inside these people's house. And there was nobody there, and he just sat there and waited for them. And when they got there, he told them about Jesus, you know. And so the church got a phone call then. And then I remember another time, good old Alvin, we went out door knocking, and apparently this was a hot day, because, you know, people park their cars on the street, and when it's hot outside, what do with your windows in your car? You crack them open just a little bit, okay? And so Alvin, as he was, you know, knocking on doors and leaving tracks on doors, he says, you know what, these people in these cars, they need the gospel too. So he went by every car that had the window cracked open, and he would slide in a track on every door. And so all these people get in their cars, their locked cars, and they find a track from First Baptist Church of Long Beach sitting right there in their car. You know, but now Alvin, he meant well. But the truth is, he wasn't helping. And if you serve in the ministry, there are going to be times where things are going to be annoying. You're going to be annoyed. You're going to be upset by little things that happen when really, if you really are honest about it, you'd have to say, you know what? It's not that big a deal. It's not the end of the world. I can get past this. You know, I'm serving the Lord. You know, this is not going to ruin my life. But those little things can bug you. And these things... This was, you know, seemingly a small thing, but apparently it got to Paul. Verse 18 says, but Paul, being grieved, it really got to him, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So Paul dealt with a problem. He cast this demon out of this girl. Number four, we come to a more serious part of the story. The suffering of serving God. What happens next? Verse 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, again, they were using this girl to tell fortunes and things like that and getting money from it. And now their gains were gone. They were going to lose this income. It says, when they saw that, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Again, this was a Roman colony. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. We find here the suffering of serving God. You know, there are a lot of people who would be willing to serve the Lord as long as it doesn't cost them anything. As long as they can serve without suffering, as long as it's not painful, as long as, you know, they, yeah, I'll put in my time, I'll do my part, but, you know, just don't ask too much of me. King David said, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. It was time to make a sacrifice, and somebody offered David animals and a bunch of other things to offer to the Lord, and David said, no, I'm not going to take what you give me and make a sacrifice to the Lord, because that's not costing me anything. You know, if you serve the Lord, if you as a Christian say, Lord, I want to serve you, I want to do something for you, sooner or later, you'll suffer for it. It's just the way it works. Now, Paul and Silas, think about their journey to this point. They could have very easily become bitter about the injustice of their situation. Did they want to be here? Did they want to be in Philippi and Macedonia? Did they want to be there? No. They wanted to be over in Asia. They wanted to be someplace else But God told them, and they knew that God had told them to come to this place and to serve here. And look what happened to them. And you know, a lot of times in the ministry, we get serving. We're there doing what we believe God wants us to do. And then we start to suffer for it, and we just lose it. We say, well, now, wait a minute. This is not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up to be inconvenienced like this and to be mistreated like this. This isn't right. And Paul and Silas could have had that attitude, but they didn't. What did they do? What was their reaction? Verse 25 says that Paul and Silas, there at midnight in the prison, sang praises unto God. Now, don't forget that they had been beaten. The Bible says stripes were laid upon them. And they're singing praises to God. Where did that come from? Would you look back at verse 10? I believe this song came from the assuredness that they gathered in verse 10. You know, Paul has this vision. He says, and after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, I submit to you tonight that there were two different events here. There was the dream, and then there was the assuredly gathering. What does that mean? If you say, I gather something, it means you think it, you believe it. And it wasn't just the dream that convinced these men that they were to serve in Macedonia. They knew it in their heart. You know, you can have all kinds of dreams. You can have all kinds of visions. You know, I meet people all the time when I'm out door knocking that like to tell me about the visions that God has given them about all kinds of things. But as a Christian, we're not to serve the Lord based on dreams and visions and things. You're to serve the Lord based on what you know in your heart. And when God calls you to a place or to a ministry or to a people, you say, well, how do you know when God wants you to do something? You just know. You pray about it. You express a desire to serve in that ministry. And God will either open the door or he'll close it. And you'll just know. It's just like when you get married. Well, how do you know she's the one or he's the one? Well, you just know. I remember when I got married, people would ask me, like they probably did you too, are you nervous? Are you nervous? And I could honestly say, on my wedding day, I wasn't nervous because I knew there was no doubt in my mind that she was the one for me, you know? And that is what, as a Christian, you seek when you're going to serve in a ministry. Say, Lord, you've given me a burden, a desire. I see the need here. I think I could help here. And Lord, I believe this is what you want me to do. And once you reach that point, if you have been prayerfully considering it, then when the suffering comes, you'll be okay. Just like Paul and Silas were okay. Because they knew, they assuredly gathered back in verse 10 that this is what God wanted them to do, this is where God wanted them to be, and they were able to sing through the trial because of it. They understood that suffering was just a part of serving the Lord. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. And by the way, this is written by a man who would later be crucified himself. So Peter didn't just preach it, he lived it. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. He says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. He says, what's the big deal if you mess up, if you do something dumb, and then you get punished for it? Are we supposed to give you a reward for taking your punishment? No. He says, if you mess up, you do something bad, you deserve the punishment. It's not some great thing that you did for taking your punishment. He says, now wait a minute, but if you're doing good, if you're doing well, he says, if for your conscience toward God you endure grief and you suffer wrongfully, he says, that, my friend, is acceptable with God. Verse 21, hereunto were ye called. He says, this is what we were called to, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He says, you know what? If you suffer for doing good, he says, that's what we were called to do. We were called to be like Christ. And so when you suffer just because you're trying to do good, that's not some great injustice. It's not some tragedy, some huge thing that you need to put a stop to. You're doing what God called you to do. And as I read this passage, I had to be ashamed, because so many times I've thought, as I serve, you know what, this isn't fair. That's not fair. This shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't have to put up with this. I shouldn't have to deal with this or that. But you know what? The Bible says I should. The Bible says if I suffer while I'm trying to do well, then I'm being like Jesus. It says that that's what I was called to do, that Jesus was our example of doing that. Verse 24 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. And I have to imagine that as Paul and Silas were sitting there in that prison, feeling the scars on their backs, I wonder if they thought, well, this must have been what it felt like when Jesus did this for me. You know, and folks, I want to encourage you, those who serve in the ministry, and you're going to suffer. There are going to be times where you're going to get down. You're going to feel like there's been a great injustice done to you. I want to encourage you to react to it the way Paul and Silas did. You know, feel those scars and say, you know what? I'm not doing anything more than what Jesus did. In fact, I'm doing less. And the Bible says that this is an honorable thing. It's what we were called to do. They just understood that suffering was a part of serving. Number 5, the surprises of serving God. They were willing to sing no matter what the outcome. They didn't know God was about to do something. They were still willing to sing through this unfair thing that happened to them. But verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And in Roman law, someone, a prison guard who let prisoners escape, would be given whatever punishment those prisoners were supposed to get. And so you can imagine that was a lot of punishment, and he'd rather just kill himself. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. You know, one of the miracles here was not just that Paul and Silas didn't escape, but all the other prisoners stayed too. You know, Paul and Silas weren't the only ones in there, but they were all there. Then he called for a light, the guard did, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. God worked in a miraculous way. But did they know that? No. They had just determined this is what God wanted them to do. This is where God wanted them to serve. They knew it, and they were willing to suffer. They were willing to put up with whatever they had to put up with in order to do what God had called them to do. But God was about to do something. They didn't know what the fruit of their service would be. They didn't know if God was going to use them to make a difference. Think about it. They thought, God brought us all the way over here just to win one lady to the Lord? That's it? That's all we're going to do here? Win one lady and her family to the Lord, and now we're going to die in this dungeon? Is that really it, God? And sometimes in the ministry, you're going to feel that way. You're going to feel like, man, I deal with these screaming kids every week. You know, am I really making a difference? Am I really having an impact in their lives? Am I really helping anybody? But you don't know what God is doing. I recently went to a chaplain's training for fire chaplains, and a lot of the people there weren't chaplains. They were just people in the fire service. It was about crisis and dealing with trauma and different things like that. And they were talking about an exercise that departments regularly do. And they were talking about an exercise in which they have the firefighters down on the ground in some kind of crisis situation. You know, they put them somewhere. Those of you in the military, and you guys do the same thing all the time. You know, they put you in a situation and they tell you, okay, here's the situation, here's what's going on. And they put the firefighters on the ground, whether it's a fire or whatever it is that they're supposed to be dealing with. But then their chief, their battalion chief, is up in a tower somewhere. And they put them in this situation and they tell them what's going on. And they purposefully tell them, they give the order from the chief to do something that to them on the ground seems like the wrong thing. To them seems like the absolute worst thing they could possibly do, but it's the order that they're being given. And they purposefully put them in that situation, and as you can imagine, the order that they're being given is actually the right thing to do, even though it appears down on the ground to be wrong. Why? Because the chief has a perspective on that crisis that they don't have. And you know, in the Christian life, God has a perspective that we don't have. He knows what he wants to do. You don't always see the hearts of the people that you're serving and what God is doing in their hearts. You don't always know that. There have been so many times that as a Christian school teacher, there were students that I thought, yeah, I don't think they're going to make it. I don't know about that one. You know, I don't know. I don't think I want to know what that one's going to be doing in 5-10 years. And you know what? A lot of times, they surprise me. And I'll see them, and they'll be faithful in church, and they'll be serving in ministries, and I'll think, wow, I guess God knew something that I didn't. I guess God had a perspective on my service that I didn't have. And so there are surprises when you serve God. And then last tonight, the returns of serving God. This is so special what is about to happen here. Verse 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway." So this man who was their jailer, who knows, he may have even taken part in the beating that they received. And yet now, he got saved, and he takes them and says, you know what, let me help get you guys cleaned up. He takes them, and he begins to wash their wounds. In verse 34, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He took them home and said, you know what, I want you to tell my family what you told me. I want you to tell my family about the Jesus that you told me about. And they sat down there, and I can just see Paul and Silas sitting there at this table with all these people, sharing the gospel with them, with wounds still on their back from this service. I guarantee you, at that moment, sitting there around that table with all those people, they thought, you know what? It was worth it. All the pain, the injustice, the unfairness that they had gone through, I'm sure they felt that it was worth it. But you know what, folks? They felt that it was worth it while they were singing at midnight. That's, to me, what is remarkable. You know, yes, there will be times where God shows you and God says, look at the difference that you've made. But you have to have that attitude before God shows you anything. You have to have that servant's heart, that thing, that attitude that says, you know what, God, I know this is what you wanted me to do. I know you called me here. I know this is where you want me to serve. And I don't know what you're doing, but I'm just willing to serve. I'm just willing to do what you've called me to do. That is truly the heart of service. And as we serve in the ministry, you know, again, if you're not serving right now, I encourage you to start serving. I hope I didn't scare you away from serving tonight. Because the joys of serving the Lord, the peace that comes from knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do, there's nothing like it. There's nothing else that can give you that peace. When you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. So God will sometimes allow us to see the impact, and we'll get that return. But the ultimate reward for service is that we please our Heavenly Father. For God to look at us someday and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.